Good evening, everybody, and thank you for tuning to ArtistFirst.com. You are listening to New Unique. This is a show all about you and everything that we do as artists. And now I'm going to bring in your guest and your host of Unique. Have a good evening.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us here on YOU Unique, Life Starring You. And it's all about you and for you, and we do what we do because of you. So thank you for being here with us. We have a little project that we do every week called Pray It Forward. There's a lot of disconcerting things in the media these days, and there's information, scientific studies that actually prove meditation and positive thoughts and love actually changes the vibration of a situation and can affect the outcome to be more positive. And so we just ask that when you see those things in the media, just send a little love their way, and it's much appreciated. We are delighted, beyond delighted, to have with us a really talented artist this evening by the name of Rob Gonzalez. I will tell you a little bit about Rob and bring him on the program. Rob is an American recording artist, composer, pianist, vocalist, and producer currently based in Los Angeles, California. He is best known for his 2006 album, All Is Right With The World, which he self-released to widespread critical acclaim. The 12-song album, co-produced by Grammy-winning producer Dave Way, features a stunning array of A-list studio musicians, including collaborators and members of the touring ensembles of Paul McCartney, Elton John, Sting, and John Mellencamp. Rob is also known for taking a personal stand in the music industry against music made purely for fame and wealth, forming Music Equals Love Incorporated as his commitment to following a pursuit of making artful music of substance while contributing to deserving charity organizations. Originally from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Rob moved to Boston, Massachusetts to study jazz at Berklee College of Music, and he lived there for a decade writing songs and performing. His popularity spread like wildfire from 2001 to 2006 as he toured over 200 schools across the United States in the college circuit. He produced and self-released the 12-song album, The Rush From Your Touch, during that period, which received rave reviews and garnered significant interest from the music industry. Gonzalez's original music approach has often been compared to artists of the 70s singer-songwriter era, such as Jackson Browne and Van Morrison. Rob's earliest musical influences include the Beatles, Elton John, and Sting. For more, please visit Rob's website at www.robgonzalez.com, and that's robgonzalez.com. You will definitely fall in love with him as an artist, and we are thrilled to welcome him on the program. Welcome, Rob. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's just absolutely an honor, Rob. You just write such beautiful music, and you just have such a beautiful heart for doing good things in the world. So we're definitely just enjoying having you here.
Well, Rob, thank you so much. I'm kind of blushing. You make me sound so awesome.
Well, it's true. I really, and our listeners will get this one. We're going to play a little bit of your music as the program progresses, and you just really have this pure heart that comes through in your music, and it just is so tangible, and it's just such a beautiful thing. I know for myself that listening to your music is almost this very sacred sort of transcendent experience that I know for myself doesn't happen that often. And so you're just a real blessing in the world, and just have a heart for doing good. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for recognizing that, and thank you for all the kindness.
Well, here we are. And Rob, let's give our listeners a little bit of background. When did you first know music was home for you?
Well, I mean, I was very, very young. I grew up in a big family with a lot of older sisters who were all fans of Elvis Presley. And I remember being very, very young, and they gather around the TV set to watch, I think it was Elvis live from Hawaii via satellite, which is Hawaii. And that was like 72 or 73. So I was, you know, 3 or 4 years old at that point. And I actually remember watching my sisters watch the TV, and I remember thinking to myself, I want that guy on the TV to be me.
I love that. That's fantastic.
That was, you know, because, you know, I think I was so used to getting the attention that it probably was, in my young mind, I was like, wait a second, how come he's got all the attention all of a sudden, you know? but I also, I do believe that the music spoke to me. My mom loves to tell stories about, because she plays piano, and she loves to tell stories about when, you know, when she was carrying me, and she used to sit at the piano and play a lot, and she would notice, you know, I would respond, you know, by moving before I was born. So I think that music was ingrained in me very, very, very early. And then by the time I was 6 or 7, I started listening to albums, to old vinyl albums. I was listening to whatever was around the house. And I remember being, you know, really young and listening to the Beatles. I think I was maybe 7 or 8 years old, and I put a Beatles anthology album on, and I listened to Strawberry Fields Forever and Penny Lane, and I read the lyrics, and I just remember being just completely transported into a whole different universe, and that really just deeply affected me.
Wow. Rob, I know one of the things that you've studied along the way is philosophy. And tell us a little bit about how that weaves into your songwriting process.
Well, philosophy, it made me. It made me who I am.
Wow, okay.
You know, I had I'm not sure if I've ever mentioned that, in my early 20s, there was a tragedy in my family, and I lost my younger brother in a small plane crash. I'm not sure if I've ever mentioned that to you, Susan. And maybe I have, but the accident, you know, I sort of disconnected in a lot of ways, and I looked in towards philosophy, and that I reconnected to the universe through the writing of the philosopher, you know, the writings of the philosophers that I was reading, and then the ideas I took to heart and processed, and it sort of, that's, I believe, when I, you know, really turned into the artist that I am. Having studied and read. And, you know, I was in my later 20s by that point, so I didn't care that, you know, my classmates in college at that point were, you know, 20 years old, and they really didn't connect with the material. I was very deep, I was connecting in a very deep way and very excited about it, to the point where I literally had a lot of my professors saying, you know, you shouldn't do music, you should just teach philosophy. But I knew that it really wasn't, you know, I knew I didn't want to teach philosophy. I just loved, it was like another universe for me. You know, I had my musical universe, and then I found this other universe of ideas and thinking, and it was just another place for my mind to grow.
And Rob, what's interesting to me is when you were saying about sort of checking out and then sort of finding yourself again through philosophy. One of the things that personally I find so striking about your music is, and especially the lyrics and the stories that you tell, is the rawness and the vulnerability and the seeming ease with which you lean in and press in on expressing things that in real life many of us tend to pull back from and run from. And I would love to have you share with us a little bit more about that process and your courage in doing that. I feel, and maybe this isn't the case, you sort of put all your cards out on the table. You're like, here's the deal, folks. And that's one of the things I find that's really intriguing and beautiful and touching about your music, is that you really seem to commit 1,000% to what you're saying and what you're presenting, and you allow your audience that same experience that you had listening to Strawberry Fields Forever, just transcending and sort of just being in the moment. Please share with us about that.
Well, I mean, immediately two things come up in my mind, and one is philosophy of art and what makes great art, and then the genius artists that I admired and still admire as I was learning how to play music. You know, the key word for me has always just been authenticity, and genuine, you know, the sharing of a genuine experience. And, you know, the artists that I've always gravitated towards were the ones that did that. I gravitate towards, you know, sometimes I like to call them the iconic artists, but usually it's the artists where they're from is important to the music that they create. You know, in a sense that, you know, Bruce Springsteen is from New Jersey and he sings like he's from New Jersey. You know, and then John Mellencamp is from Indiana and he sings like he's from Indiana. The Beatles were from Liverpool and they sang from that perspective. And I've always been drawn to artists that do that. It's just something that it makes the whole experience more real for me, and heightened. It's all about, you know, bringing the listener in and taking them on a journey. And when the person who's conveying the message really means what they're saying, it's just so much more powerful. And I guess that was something that I realized early on. I have sort of I don't know if it's a good habit or a bad habit, but I analyze a lot. And maybe that's something I learned or fine-tuned, I suppose, in school when I was studying philosophy and I was also studying English literature. I've gotten really good at analyzing texts and analyzing subtext, and I do it now all day long. And it can be a little distracting sometimes, but I observe. I've learned to become a very good observer of body language and of the things that people say and sometimes the things that they don't say. And by becoming so observant, I've sort of learned to find when people are being genuine and when they're not. And for whatever reason, it's just very, genuineness is very important to me. I don't like when people are pretending or they're putting up a facade or airs. And maybe that relates to the whole reason why I didn't love Madonna's Super Bowl performance last night, because it was essentially pretending to sing. I like the real deal. I like it when people are authentic. And I think that that's a huge component of what is called great art.
And I think that's such an important thing that you're talking about, Rob, is this idea of authenticity, especially in today's world of music, where there's a lot that's done in the studio that sometimes it's sort of difficult to tell where the electronic process ends and the performer's real voice begins and that sort of thing. And it gets a little muddy.
Yeah, I remember a quote from Tori Amos. She said a few years back, and she said, she was making an observation about the music industry, and she said all the power has gone to the producers. And really, as far as, you know, the sort of, you know, know, the corporate media-backed music industry. I'm not talking about independent artists that release things on their own on the internet, but, you know, the things where there's still a multinational conglomerate involved. You know, those structures, they are powered mostly by the producers now and not the artists. And it, you know, it happens on such a massive, wide scale. And there was a time in the music industry in the past where that was prevalent. I mean, in the late 50s, there were a lot of artists that were more or less, you know, quote-unquote, the face, you know. And, you know, the studios sort of propped up that person and, you know, made them stars and took advantage of them and the whole nine yards. And that's, you know, changed in the early 60s. And then by the late 60s, it was, the pendulum had swung completely the opposite direction, where it was all about the artist. But since, you know, the mid-90s, the pendulum has swung back the other way, and it's really gone towards, you know, producers having all the power, and the artist just being, again, like it used to be in the early, in the late 50s, it's just, they're basically a face. And the music that's coming out is more or less product that's designed to make the multinational conglomerate company meet their bottom line. And the producers know what that is, and they understand how that works, and they want to make that happen. So it really has become less about making great art and more about selling product. And it's caused a situation where the industry has really sort of eaten itself. And, you know, the thing is that I continually keep telling myself, you know, at the top of the show you talked about, you know, when you read bad news, you want to put positive energy towards it. And I firmly believe that. And I'm trying to constantly bring positive energy to the state of the music industry. And there are definitely, you know, glimmers of hope of artists that are finding success that are connecting with music in a really artful way. So it's not all bad news. But, you know, it's just not for me, as far as my opinion, personal opinion, it's just not enough.
Well, I think that, and what you're saying, Rob, about the industry sort of eating itself, I think that what happens is that people sort of develop this taste. Kind of if they've eaten fast food their whole life and someone suddenly takes them to an elegant restaurant, they're not really sure how to process that. And I think in some ways, the commercial aspect of the music industry in terms of radio and that sort of thing is very dominated by music that sounds quite similar. And so that's what people sort of assimilate as, oh, okay, this is music. And so when they are exposed to something that's a little bit outside that realm, I think sometimes there's this challenge in processing it. It's like, well, what do I do with that sound? Because it's different than what I'm used to. And to me, anyway, it seems like that's why with the music industry that a lot of artists have gone independent and sort of doing their own thing just to have the opportunity of sort of finding a home for their music where it doesn't fit in sort of the commercial music industry, I guess.
Yeah, I just had a thought about when I was touring so many colleges, and one of the things that always gave me a great feeling would be when the students would come up to me after the show and they'd ask to buy two CDs. They'd buy a CD for themselves, and then they'd buy one for their parents. I think that a lot of people actually do know what great music is, and they know it through their parents. What I can't figure out, though, is why they tolerate the stuff that is consistently played on the radio. You know, I go to the gym pretty much almost every day, and I have to wear headphones because I just can't tolerate the stuff that they play at the gym because it's generally like the latest top 40 stuff or whatever pop thing is happening, and you're right, it's just so, it's become so bland and become so just not artful, I suppose. So that's the thing. I think they do know what great music is. I just think that for some reason they seem to tolerate the corporate world just shoving down their throats this stuff that isn't artful, and it's sad, but I guess it is what it is.
Well, Rob, we're going to talk a little bit more about what it means to be an artist and the music industry and all of that in just a moment. For anyone who's just joining us, we're here with Rob Gonzalez. And Rob, we have one of your beautiful songs to share with our listening audience tonight, Flowers for You. Please tell us a little bit about this song.
Sure. Well, it's a ballad. You know, ballads are fun because, you know, in my life, romance is important to me. I know that's probably not a very typical guy thing to say, but you know, I think most guys feel that, they just don't want to say it out loud. And again, you know, I grew up with a lot of sisters, so maybe that's the issue with me, is that I just grew up with so much feminine influence around the house that sort of rubbed off on me, and I'm able to say that out loud. So writing a ballad is fun because I get to actually express, you know, those romantic feelings. And at the time when I was, that I wrote that song, I didn't really have someone in my life that I felt connected to. I was single at the time, but I just imagined, you know, how I might feel if I did have someone. I think what happened was I started the music, and there was a certain airiness or floating sense that came out in the music before I wrote the lyrics, and for some reason that sort of brought up a mental picture of, you know, flowers, and I guess what struck me was that the sort of significance of what flowers mean in a relationship, and I guess I kind of wanted to explore that a little bit. So that's what, you know, the song Flowers for You is. It may sound cliche, but I was really trying to get inside of what that experience of, you know, someone giving someone else flowers.
It's so beautiful, and I'm actually quite amazed, Rob, that you wrote that sort of outside the context of a relationship, in the sense of that it seems almost quite the opposite, just because of sort of the intimacy that the song has, just from the music to the lyrics and that sort of thing. Thank you very much for sharing that with us and sharing the song with us. We're going to play a short clip. For anyone who's just joining us, we're here with Rob Gonzalez. Please check out Rob's website at www.robgonzalez, and that's robgonzalez.com. We're going to listen to a beautiful clip from his song, Flowers for You.
Soft is white as red is true. Late of April sun when the air is perfume. And the visions I hold dear are sweet on a journey to you. Falling, floating, tumbling so fast. Filling up a heart, a bouquet made to last. Caught up clear in a moment. Captured and raptured and true. These flowers for you. Dancing on the slope of a hillside, swaying low, graceful and blue. Spinning in a wind, light and tender, delicate, daring and morning calm. flowers for you. Flowers for you. Ooh. A heart is hope as love is life. Ooh, to take your hillside, make you my wife. With our love, please around us, surrounding and towering through.
Now back to the unique.
Thank you, listeners, for joining us here on YOU Unique, Life Starring You. The beautiful music you just heard are the melodic sounds of Rob Gonzalez's lovely tune, Flowers for You. Please visit Rob's website at www.robgonzalez, and that's robgonzalez.com. And we just have the delightful pleasure of having Rob here with us this evening. Welcome back to the program, Rob.
Thank you. And thank you so much for playing so much of that song.
It's just such a spectacular tune, Rob, and just the lightness and the beauty that comes through in that. And one of the things I really enjoy is that it takes you on a journey. And that's such a fun feeling to feel that in a song. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Well, thank you.
Rob, let's talk. What does being an artist mean for you?
What does it mean for me?
Mm-hmm.
It means surviving a wild roller coaster ride. That's what it means, basically. And sort of keeping a never-ending faith inside, faith in yourself and faith in the universe and all those things. Historically, the artist's life generally is not always the most positive experience. There's a certain amount of struggle and difficulty, and in the modern era, artists have had success, more than ever. I think, to be an artist today and to be a part of today's music industry, I think there's a certain amount of, you do it because you have to, if it isn't your undying, burning passion, there's just no way you can survive and continue to do it every day. Because it's not the glamour and it's not the, amazing, always fun thing that people might think it is. There's moments where, where I'm caught off guard and where I live through experiences that I say, wow, that's something that I dreamed of doing as a kid. But there's a lot of moments also where it's just very hard and very, blood, sweat, and tears kind of stuff.
And I appreciate you sharing that, Rob, because I think we live in a world sometimes that glamorizes that with a lot of the audition shows that are on television and this idea of overnight success. And we've had a couple of musicians on the show that have shared that no one seems to really talk about that early on in the career, where it's like you play a club that maybe seats 20 tables and there's maybe three tables there that evening, and sort of living through those experiences and believing in yourself and believing in your talent and honoring that. And one of the things you were talking about it too, of it sort of not always being, let's say, always wine and roses and that sort of thing, that one of the things I think as an artist that you have the choice to sort of quit or keep going, and using those experiences as fuel for your music. And would you say that that's something that you've done, is sort of let those experiences shape you and incorporate that in your music?
Yeah, absolutely. And that might be something that I'm the most proud of, really, is, I still feel a sort of burning desire to continually make music, and I base my desire to create new music on, you know, what's happening with me and how I've learned and grown and learned from, you know, sort of trial and error kind of thing. It's a never-ending thing. I actually feel right now that I'm at almost a crossroads, because, you know, when I started playing music, I started playing jazz piano. That's sort of where my heart was at the time in my teens, and then I studied jazz piano at Berklee College of Music. And then jazz, to me, seemed sort of in a box and sort of restricted, and like it wasn't evolving, and that kind of turned me off. So I sort of left the jazz behind and went a completely different direction. I actually went into alternative rock. I grew my hair out really long, and I picked up the guitar, and I learned how to play the guitar, and I bought massively huge amplifiers, and, you know, and I had a garage band, and played very angry, you know, angst rock, because to me that was more artful than the sort of in-the-box jazz, conventional jazz that I had learned and been trained to do. And now I use the term pendulum swing, but it really feels like that. It feels as if I'm swinging towards the other thing. I'm heading more towards jazz, but I still have a burning desire to reinvent and not have it be cliched or, you know, the same thing over and over. So I've been trying to find ways to execute the music that I'm hearing in my head in a way that's still relevant and artful and not cliched, but it's definitely heading towards more of a jazz vein. And I think that's part of the reason why I was keen on the song Flowers for You, is that there are some jazz elements going on in that song. And some of the tonalities that I use, there's something called a sharp 11 in the chordal tonality that I use in that song. It's not something that you hear in pop music. You never hear it in pop music. And it's all over the place in that song. And I actually had a composer walk up to me once and say, "Oh my God, you wrote a pop song that uses sharp 11. And I was so impressed, A, that he was able to hear that, and then B, that he knew that was how significant that was. But that's definitely where I'm heading now as an artist.
Love that. Rob, we're going to come back in a little bit and talk more about authenticity. And in the meantime, we have another beautiful clip from The Answer, which I'm so thrilled, just beyond words even, that you are sharing that with us this evening. Please tell us a little bit about this song.
Okay. Two Januaries ago. I was on vacation. I was literally by myself on vacation in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, which sounds kind of pathetic, but it was at the time, it was what I needed. I just needed to sort of be alone for a bit. I was there for, I think, 9 days by myself. And I was listening to a Bob Marley song. And what struck me was, again, the authenticity of Bob Marley's lyrics. And, you know, he had so many strong messages that, you know, that came through in his music. And his chord progressions were really simple. And I took a nap, and I woke up, and the song was sort of in my head, and it was very simple lyrics that love is the answer. And I guess, you know, so there is sort of a Bob Marley-ism even in that title, or in that sentence, love is the answer. But I started singing a melody, and I heard the chord changes, and they were very simple, and I thought, okay, that's kind of neat. And when I got home, I thought, all right, now how can I make this more me? How can I make it a little more complex? How can I make it, you know, where it's something that, where the music matches what I want to express? And then I played around with it, and I wrote the song.
It's absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. For anyone just joining us, we're here with the talented Rob Gonzalez. Please visit Rob's website at www.robgonzalez.com, and that's robgonzalez.com. And we're going to hear a brief clip from the beautiful song, The Answer.
Memory, we can't understand. There was love with abandon, compelling and real, a touch and a tenderness no one could steal. And she said, love, love is the answer. It's always the answer, ever the answer. Hear me singing, love, love is the answer. It's always the answer, ever the answer. Love is the answer. Many times falter.
Now back to Unique with Rob Gonzalez.
Ladies and gentlemen, for joining us this evening on YOU Unique, Life Starring You. The beautiful song you just heard is The Answer by Rob Gonzalez, www.robgonzalez.com, and that's R-O-B-G-O-N-Z-A-L-E-Z. And Rob is here with us this evening. Thank you, Rob.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's such a spectacular tune, and just you're so amazing, and we're just so grateful to have you here. Rob, one of the things that really I just personally find so striking about your music is that you speak with such an authentic voice that even though there may be elements of other musicians and hints of things that you can hear in there, it just, for some reason, the image that comes to my mind is this idea of a quilt, in terms of that it has all these different pieces, and yet it's just this unique individual piece of art. And I'd love to have you share with our listening audience the importance of authenticity in creating music, or any art for that example, or for that, yeah, for that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's all important. I think it's really the goal is, well, I think the goal of living is you know, an authentic experience, and then to be able to convey that in a meaningful way is really what great art is all about. Whether it's film or in dance or music or sculpting or whatever, it's you know, conveying an authentic experience in a meaningful way. Like I said earlier, the music that I've always connected with has always been that type of music. And so there was a thought in my head early on as I was learning to write songs that I wanted to try to meet that goal. And I think that's, you know, part of the, you know, most songwriters, you know, have those songs that they love, and they sort of aspire to write that song. And of course, you know, you never write that song, but you know, if you come close, and you end up feeling really good about yourself as an artist or as a writer. And So for me, that's always been that thought in my mind is, you know, I aspire to create music that meets that level. You know, and I had a great conversation once with Livingston Taylor, who is a great songwriter and singer, musician. He happens to be James Taylor's brother, but he's in his own right, he's a fantastic musician, writer. He's also a professor of Berklee College of Music. And I had the honor of opening for Livingston in a couple of shows, and then he identified, I think, with my talent and invited me to his writing space at Harvard. He had a room at Harvard where he just went to write. And we sat there and we started working on one of my songs, and he offered suggestions. And at one point he said, listen, if you're not ready to be better than some of the greats that you admire, then why are you, know, then why do this at all? And that was sort of a mind-blowing thought. Because what he was saying was, if you can't aspire to be better than Elton John, then why are you in this game? Sort of, because from his perspective, it was because that's what's going to take to propel you forward, is to be a better artist than Elton John. And in my mind at that point, that was sort of like, it was like a million bricks fell down on me all at the same time, because I thought, oh my God, I'll never reach that. But then I took a step back and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to move forward, even though I feel right now that I'll never reach that point. And what's kind of funny is that the more I did it, the more confidence I instilled in myself. And then eventually, you know, I get these compliments, you know, I perform live, and, you know, it's happened a few times where people will walk up to me and say, you know, I just saw Elton John last night, and you did that song better. which is, you know, sort of, it's like the ultimate compliment. I mean, you know, and obviously, you know, in my mind, I still don't think I'm, you know, I think I'm a shadow of the artist that Elton John is. But just to have someone come up and give me that type of a compliment it sort of validates the whole conversation that I had with Livingston Taylor at that time.
Oh my gosh, that's such a beautiful story and so inspiring, because I think sometimes that actually is what stops a lot of people from artistic dreams and just their dreams in life in general, is that, well, who am I to dream this dream of whatever it is that they desire to create for their lives? And I think that sometimes that's how they put limits on their lives is, you know, who am I? How dare I, you know, even begin to dream about experiencing that or having that? And I appreciate you sharing that with us, Rob. That's a really poignant piece of inspiration. Thank you.
You know, we could spend a lot of time talking about, you know, the whole process of, you know, having a dream and then going after it and you know, not being afraid and not, you know, not quitting when times get hard and believing in yourself. You know, I really feel that that's the sort of meat and potatoes of the whole process. There's been so many other artists, I think, that have tried to convey that. It's one of the things I've noticed in the past 3 or 4 years. I've really spent a lot of time going back and learning how to sing songs from the 30s and 40s, which, you know, they call it the Great American Songbook.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've noticed is that there's so many songs that talk about believing in yourself or seeing the bright side of life. And, you know, the writers at that time, they understood how powerful those ideas were, and they were trying to convey them in those songs. And, you know, some of these songs are hugely famous songs that are, you know, world known around the world. But it's true. It is about believing in yourself and not being afraid to put yourself out there.
Did someone once tell me that human beings don't fail, they just give up before the miracle happens?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that.
It's kind of, I mean, it's kind of true if you think about it. And going back to what you were saying about the Great American Songbook, it's amazing because these are people that lived through the Depression. And when you actually learn about that, that word's been thrown around a lot in recent times. And I had grandparents that actually came through that. And when you talk to people who have actually been through that and you recognize what that is, to come out of that and create the songs with the optimism that that music had is really inspirational in terms of allowing yourself to step into this idea of pursuing a dream and staying on that path. And I appreciate you sharing that with us, Rob. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rob, would love to have you, if you could go back and give yourself advice as early on in your career, what would you tell yourself?
Well, that's an awesome question. what would I tell myself? You know, I probably would have told myself to study more. You know, I find myself sometimes being limited in, you know, having to work with, you know, arrangers because I'm not as fluid at writing out parts for strings and horns as I would like to be. Because I don't do it on a daily basis, I end up relying on the guys who do it on a daily basis. And I wish that I had studied arranging more so I could be more fluid. And what happens is I'll sit down with them and I'll end up doing a lot of the arranging, but it's sort of through them. You know, I sing the parts to them and or play them into the machine and try to explain what I want. And I more or less wish that I had spent more time just doing that. But at the same time, I think that there's a certain freedom that I appreciate of having not done that, because I feel like it sort of opens me up to being a little more creative. But I think I think I would have liked to have focused on technique, you know, just being a better, more proficient as a piano player, or more proficient as a vocalist. Even though I did spend, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hours learning how to sing and how to play, I just wish that I spent more. I guess, and maybe that's a sign of an artist. I don't know. I feel like I could have spent a whole lifetime just learning how, just learning the craft side of it, instead of, you know, I have spent a significant amount of time sort of learning on the job by doing it, you know, 5-6 hours a night, 5-6 nights a week, kind of a thing. And, you know, there's so much to be said for that. But at the same time, I wish that I maybe had spent more time just in the practice rooms and studying with instructors that, you know, that knew more than I did.
It's interesting, Rob, because that seems to be a common theme among a lot of our musical guests, is this idea of perfectionism and just always sort of wanting to better themselves. And it seems like it's always the people that, from the outside, it's like, well, they're at the top of their game. And I think that that really, the true artists, it just seems to be such a common thread among the true artists like yourself. And appreciate your candor around that topic. Rob, we have just a few minutes left on the program. We'd love to have you share with our guests if you have any upcoming appearances or anything in particular you'd like them to check out on your website.
You know, I am working on a couple different things this year, and if they come to fruition, it will be very, very exciting. But I can't really say anything right now. But there are definitely some very cool things that are, irons in the fire kind of thing. I'm definitely due for a new album, and, you know, it's something that I've been trying to do, but for the past 2 or 3 years already. But the perfectionist in me wants whatever I do to follow up Alzheimer's with the world to be as good or better than that. So I continually keep going back to the drawing board and trying to perfect it. And I feel as though I am getting closer and closer and closer. And like I said, there are a lot of irons in the fire right now, but I just don't want to talk about it just yet.
That's all right. That's great. We love teasers here on Unique. So for anyone listening, definitely keep checking back on Rob's website, www.robgonzalez.com. And Rob, we like to close our broadcast. Do you have any particular mantra either that you live by or that you would like to leave as words of wisdom with our listening audience this evening?
The one thing that just came to mind is never give up, which I'm just laughing because I think yesterday I had a really, one of those days where it just seems like everything is, it's just a bad day, which any artist will tell you happens every now and then where you just feel like everything's going wrong.
Like you're one step away from like lighter fluid and a lighter standing near the piano.
It's just one of those days where I just really did wish I listened to my dad's advice and became a doctor, honestly. but I wake up on the next morning and I've got music in my head, you know, so it's one of those things. So I think, probably the thing I'm most proud of is that I don't quit. I just keep going. And even when I have those days like I did yesterday. So I think my mantra would be, never give up and to believe in yourself.
Oh, beautiful. So beautiful. We just are so blessed to have you here with us this evening, Rob. And it just is such a joy. Thank you for opening your heart and opening your mind and sharing your beautiful music and your wonderful words of wisdom with us. You're just such a gift in the world. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Susan. I appreciate it so much.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us here on YOU Unique, Life Starring You. It's always a blessing to have you with us, too. Thank you so much.
Memory, we can't understand. There was love with abandon, compelling and real, a touch and a tenderness no one could steal.